Searching for New Horizons. In the first 10 paragraphs, he touted his engineering skills, including his ability to design bridges, waterways, cannons, armored vehicles, and public buildings. Only in the 11th paragraph at the end did he add that he was also an artist. "Likewise, in painting, I can do everything possible," he wrote, "as well as any man." Yes, he could. He would go on to create the two most famous paintings in history, The Last Supper and the Mona Lisa. But in his own mind, he was just as much a man of science and engineering, with a passion that was both playful and obsessive. He pursued innovative studies of anatomy, fossils, birds, the heart, flying machines, optics, botany, geology, water flows, and weaponry. Thus he became the archetype of the Renaissance man, an inspiration to all who believe that the infinite works of nature, as he put it, are woven together in a unity filled with marvelous patterns. His ability to combine art and science, made iconic by his drawing of a perfectly proportioned man spread eagle inside a circle and a square, known as Vitruvian Man, which was perhaps a self-portrait, made him history's most creative genius. His scientific explorations informed his art. He peeled flesh off the faces of cadavers, delineated the muscles that move the lips, and then painted the world's most memorable smile. He studied human skulls, made layered drawings of the bones and teeth, and conveyed the skeletal agony of St. Jerome in the wilderness. He explored the mathematics of optics, showed how light rays strike the cornea, and produce magical illusions of changing visual perspectives in The Last Supper. By connecting his studies of light and optics to his art, he mastered the use of shading and perspective to model objects on a two-dimensional surface so they look three-dimensional. This ability to make a flat surface display a body as if modeled and separated from this plane, Leonardo said, was the first intention of the painter. Largely due to his work, dimensionality became the supreme innovation of Renaissance art. As he aged, he pursued his scientific inquiries not just to serve his art, but out of a joyful instinct to fathom the profound beauties of creation. When he groped for a theory of why the sky appears blue, it was not simply to inform his paintings. His curiosity was pure, personal, and delightfully obsessive. But even when he was engaged in blue sky thinking, his science was not a separate endeavor from his art. Together, they served his driving passion, which was nothing less than knowing everything there was to know about the world, including how we fit into it. He had a reverence for the wholeness of nature and a feel for the harmony of its patterns, which he saw replicated in phenomena large and small. In his notebooks, he would record curls of hair, eddies of water, and whirls of air, along with some stabs at the math that might underlie such spirals. While at Windsor Castle, looking at the swirling power of the deluge drawings that he made near the end of his life, I asked the curator, Martin Clayton, whether he thought Leonardo had done them as works of art or of science. Even as I spoke, I realized it was a dumb question. "I do not think that Leonardo would have made that distinction," he replied. I embarked on this book because Leonardo da Vinci is the ultimate example of the main theme of my previous biographies, how the ability to make connections across disciplines, arts and sciences, humanities and technology, is a key to innovation, imagination, and genius. Benjamin Franklin, a previous subject of mine,